Picture a former police officer, someone who'd faced armed criminals, violent riots, and life-threatening situations with steady nerves, stripping naked in his conservatory, frantically bagging his clothes, throwing away his shoes, and scrubbing his skin raw in scalding water. This wasn't the aftermath of a chemical attack. This was March 2020, and Darren had just returned from his first hospital visit in 7 weeks. What could transform a decorated law enforcement veteran into someone gripped by such primal terror? The answer lies in a calculated strategy that would reshape how democracies communicate with their citizens. We need to increase the perceived level of personal threat, advised Britain's Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on Behavior. This wasn't a warning about an unfortunate side effect. It was the actual plan. On March 23, 2020, Boris Johnson's lockdown announcement was theatrically ominous. His white-knuckled fists, staccato speech, and visible tension created what clinical psychologist Dr. Naomi Murphy described as resembling a forced hostage speech. The lighting, camera angles, and timing were orchestrated to maximize psychological impact, a government deliberately amplifying fear. The effects were immediate. Elderly people refused to touch grandchildren. People sanitized groceries for hours. Panic attacks became commonplace. Darren's experience replicated across millions of households. His anger remains palpable. It was despicable that the government tried to frighten us. In any other walk of life, you'd be arrested for causing such deliberate psychological harm. While the virus posed genuine dangers, the manufactured fear campaign may have inflicted equally serious damage to mental health, institutional trust, and social fabric. Fear spread through media channels like wildfire. Before Britain's first confirmed case, tabloids ran viral videos from China showing people collapsing in streets and being dragged from homes by hazmat-suited officials. These apocalyptic scenes, what became known as stunt COVID, never materialized elsewhere, yet they set the emotional tone for everything that followed. Headlines screamed about killer bugs, zombies, and apocalypse. Why? Because fear sells, and journalists' pay was increasingly linked to article views. Consider 85-year-old Sarah, healthy, active, engaged with life. Then came the constant BBC coverage, the relentless drumbeat of danger. Her daughter watched helplessly as her mother declined not from COVID, but from isolation driven by media-induced terror. Meanwhile, the UK government spent over $184 million on COVID communications in 2020. Newspapers were unlikely to bite the hand feeding them, and Ofcom's guidance restricted broadcasters from challenging government public health policy. Critical journalism, the cornerstone of democracy, was effectively muzzled. Fear has always been a tool of governance, but COVID represented a disturbing evolution. The threat wasn't foreign governments or distant terrorists. It was your own body, your neighbor, your grandmother. We became the enemy. Behavioral scientists deployed sophisticated frameworks like Mindspace, using psychological levers including messenger, who delivers information matters, affect, emotional associations shape behavior, and norms, we conform to social pressure. From the Prime Minister's doomsday speech to the creation of moral binaries between heroes and COVIDiots, every element was designed to engineer compliance. Masks became particularly powerful psychological instruments. David Halburn from the Behavioral Insights team admitted masks work primarily for the signal they create, placing this benefit before actual evidence of disease prevention. Masks transformed citizens into walking billboards for disease, keeping fear literally in our faces. The human cost was staggering. A 15-year-old spiraled into self-harm, becoming like a hermit in her bedroom. A young man with cancer delayed seeking care until his disease became inoperable. A woman made a suicide attempt, resulting in irreversible brain damage after lockdown destroyed her finances. Another woman avoided the hospital with chest pains, fearing she'd overwhelm the NHS, ultimately presenting with end-stage heart failure that could have been treated. These weren't unfortunate accidents. They were predictable consequences of a fear-based strategy. Metrics became weapons. Daily case counts, hospitalization figures, death tolls, presented without context or proportion. These numbers created a self-perpetuating doom loop where frightened people demanded more restrictions, perpetuating more fear. The metrics themselves were misleading. Patients admitted included those testing positive before admission, those diagnosed after admission for other reasons, and hospital-acquired infections. Public Health England initially counted anyone who ever tested positive and later died from any cause, even if hit by a bus months after recovery, as a COVID death. Neil Ferguson's Imperial model predicted 500,000 UK deaths without suppression. Described as the most devastating software mistake of all time, it used outdated code not released for weeks. Despite Ferguson's history of spectacularly wrong predictions, 136,000 CJD cases when only 178 occurred over 20 years, his models drove government policy. An anonymous Whitehall scientist suggested this wasn't accidental. The higher the death toll, the more draconian the measures you can bring in. When 500,000 people crowded Bournemouth Beach during June 2020, media coverage was apocalyptic. Yet by February 2021, Professor Mark Woolhouse acknowledged to Parliament that not a single COVID outbreak had been linked to beaches or outdoor gatherings. Dire predictions followed by quiet retreats when catastrophe failed to materialize became the defining pattern of pandemic messaging. Labels weaponized debate. Lockdown skeptics became COVID deniers, deliberately evoking Holocaust denial. Vaccine policy questions earned the anti-vaxxer label, regardless of nuance. Express mask mandate reservations? You're a psychopath or granny killer. Established experts faced marginalization. Dr. Knut Witkowski, former head of biostatistics at Rockefeller University, saw his YouTube interview, 1.5 million views, deleted for violating undefined community standards. Oxford's Professor Sunetra Gupta and Harvard's Martin Kulldorff met similar fates. Cult-like dynamics emerged. Leadership maintained impenetrable logic where decisions were beyond question. Failed predictions were reframed. 3 weeks to flatten the curve became indefinite. Followers were blamed for failures. COVIDiots breaking rules caused continued restrictions. Some conspiratorial concepts proved documented. World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab explicitly wrote the pandemic presented a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. When multiple world leaders adopted the WEF's Build Back Better slogan, it demonstrated real influence rather than conspiracy theory. The collateral damage was catastrophic. Economic modeling predicted 40,000 excess deaths over 50 years from increased poverty. By March 2021, social care disruptions claimed 32,000 lives, canceled operations killed 18,000, disrupted emergency care another 10,000. Depression rates doubled, alcohol-specific deaths surged 16.4%, opiate addiction increased 20%, London saw a 33% rise in suicide-related ambulance calls. These aren't statistics, they're preventable tragedies. Fear became society's defining mood, creating fertile ground for manipulation. Behavioral psychologist Gavin Morgan admitted, "Using fear as a means of control is not ethical. It smacks of totalitarianism." An anonymous scientific advisor revealed they'd warned the government about severe consequences, stating bluntly that you should try and power through an epidemic. Lockdown measures were never part of coronavirus response training. We face a choice: accept that governments may weaponize fear whenever deemed necessary, or demand the trust and transparency democracy requires. The weaponization of fear undermines liberty, humanity, and the social bonds that make life worth living. Our recovery isn't just about returning to normal, it's about ensuring this calculated manipulation never happens again. A government that deliberately frightens its own citizens has crossed a line that should never be crossed in a free society.